It's Audiomo Day 7. So in my continuing theme of history, today is recording history. Or more specifically, just a few things that I've learned from recording veterans at Bletchley Park. So our interviews with the veterans can fall into two categories, really. Your planned interviews and your unplanned interviews. So we might have an event that is pre-planned. So earlier this year, we had the launch for Mick Smith's latest book, The Debs of Bletchley Park, and we knew there'd be six veterans there. And they knew beforehand, and were asked beforehand if they'd be happy to be interviewed, but the world press was there, so they were, you know, they were happy to be interviewed by everyone. So the other ones, the unplanned ones, are we get veterans just visiting. So these sort of interviews Catherine will normally do, because she works at Bletchley Park full-time. If I'm there, then, you know, I'll record it, or if Catherine can't record them and is busy doing something else, then I'll record them and interview them. But for the unplanned ones, it's probably what I'm more going to look at. The big thing first off is just to ask them if they're happy to be recorded. And the first thing I'll do is explain to them that, you know, what a podcast is. You know, think of a radio show on the internet. Quite often get surprised by, you know, we talk to them about podcasts and a few of them have heard of podcasts. Some of them will say, oh, can I get this on my iPad or on my tablet? And, you know, these people are in their very late 80s, early 90s, and they're still using computer equipment. And the one thing to remember with all of this is if they're not at all happy to record with you or be recorded, then you just say that's fine. And you just, you know, explain it's no problem at all and walk away. But if they're not sure what it is, we just sort of explain to them that, you know, it's listened to by tens of thousands of people a month. And, you know, all the feedback that I get for the podcast, it's nearly always about the interviews with the veterans. So when they find out, people want to hear what I did, and tens of thousands of people, yeah. Oh, okay. But not one of them that any of us for the podcast have interviewed have really been happy about bigging themselves up, shall we say. They nearly always are trying to either pay tribute to their colleagues or play down what they did. But, you know, we explained to them that it didn't matter what anyone did at Bletchley Park, everyone was this little cog in a bigger machine and it was all important. So it's just really putting them at ease and you know, just explaining it all to them, what, you know, what the point of it is. A lot of them, when they realise it's just audio and not video, are really happy to do it. They're more than happy to do it. You know, people worry about how they look more than how they sound. And it's just making them feel comfortable. And just literally saying, look, you know, we can do it wherever you want to do it. If we talk to them in the caf, and, you know, it's not the best place to record people because it's so noisy, but we will do it. We'll do it wherever the veteran wants to do it. One thing going into an interview with a veteran is it's always good to have done a little bit of homework. Not specifically about the person, necessarily, but just general homework, you know, especially. So, I mean, this is all, I'm specifically talking World War II veterans, so it's knowing, you know, sort of very, very high-level key facts. So, you know, the start and end of the war. You know, this is really basic. You know, start and end of the war. Other things like, oh, the Munich crisis was in 1938. Because quite a lot of the veterans, their first thoughts of the war actually go back to Munich. I don't think we, looking back on history now, I don't think we see just how important Munich was to people because it was so close to people thinking there was going to be a war in 1938. So little things like that, they'll sort of help. And just general, you know, just basic things, you know, Battle of Britain was 1940, you know, year of Stalingrad, El Alamein, you know, D-Day, things like that, just real basic facts and figures, not figures, but dates, you know, really. Because that will help when you can sort of, you know what they're going to know. So if they joined up in, you know, 44, you're going to know that their first big memory of the war is probably going to be D-Day, you know, things like that. I mean, with Bletchley specifically, we know that if a lady was a Wren, a member of the Women's Royal Naval Service, then they're probably going to have done one of two jobs. They'll either have been a bomb operator, which is the big machine that, if you know anything about Bletchley Park, with lots of dials on, which was to help try and find the daily settings on an Enigma. They'd have been an operator for that. Or they'd have been a Y service operator, so they'd have been at a listening station listening to Morse code. If it isn't quite flowing, there's little cues that you can give them So, you know, with a bomb operator, we can sort of say, oh, do you remember the noise of the machine and the smell of the oil? That normally will fire something off in their memory. Oh, the bloody noise or something. You know, they'll be off. We've done it with a couple of operators now. We've given them one of the drums. And on the back of the drums, there's something like 160 or something. Tiny, tiny little piano wires. And they're what made the electrical connection. And after each run, they had to take all of these drums off and with a pair of tweezers, pull out each and every one of these wires slightly so none of them touched. So when they did the next run, everything worked fine. One of those in their hands and they're back, you know, in 1942. You know, oh, these drums, oh, the tweezers. And when we've been able to go round with a veteran on a tour, being able to take them into maybe the hut they worked in or into a room that's got some of the kit that they used. So I took a lady a couple of years ago into a room with a teleprinter in there, and she was just off. She was playing away on the teleprinter as if she was back on shift. It's just remarkable, their memories, just absolutely remarkable. A really important thing is don't tire them out. You need to keep an eye on them and work out, you know, are they beginning to flag? Do they feel that they've answered enough? Have they spoken enough? Some will just suddenly say, oh, I think you've heard enough about my story now. And occasionally you think, well, no, I know there's this little bit, and you'll just mention something that might bring them around to talking about something else again. But it's just respecting their time and how they feel about it, really. Don't just press stop on the record. That's one thing I've learned. You know, you might have said to them, that was lovely, that's perfect. Because quite often you're looking, or I am, I'm looking for the finish, the close. And quite often it will be something really poignant they say. And you know, when they're getting quite poignant, that they're probably getting to the end of what they want to talk about. And there's been loads of these. You know, there's probably something like that with at least 50% of the veterans I've interviewed. And that's the point to finish. And you thank them and just talk about it. Talk about the interview and, you know, how wonderful that thing was you talked about and that bit. I don't turn off the recorder at that point, because there have been moments where we've caught absolute gold from the veterans. And they'll just suddenly, in that conversation where you remember something else that they wanted to say, and quite often they will say, you know, oh, I wish I'd mentioned so-and-so, so-and-so. Carry on. Well, what was that? And out it comes. And it's brilliant. The only time to really stop, I've only ever done it, had to do it once, was one of the things that a lot of the veterans suffered was because they couldn't tell anyone for 30 years what they did, they couldn't tell their parents what they'd done during the war. Quite a lot of them, their parents died before 1974 when the first book came out, and they could tell them. And some of them can get quite upset. And I've had to stop one interview at the point where the lady was talking about that because I could see it was upsetting her. And I just stopped interviewing her and I just took her hand and just thanked her for the interview and everything. And we just sat and chatted for a couple of minutes, and recorder was off at that point, because I'm never going to record an upset veteran if I can see it's distressing them. We've had veterans move to tears when they're remembering something, but, you know, within 10 seconds, they're then laughing about something else that happened. So, it's just, well, the whole thing is showing them respect. That's it, really. And one thing to show them respect that I've learned, the ladies and the gentlemen do like to see a young man in a suit. So most of my interviews, I will be suited and booted for them. And that's about it, really, my tips for recording a veteran. This is just Bletchley Park, but, you know, if you do know someone, like a family friend or a relation, honestly, you should record them. You really should, because there's going to come a day soon where these people aren't around, and we need to save this history. It's so important, and it's just another way of paying respect to them and thanking them for their service. You know, being able to say to them, tens of thousands of people will hear this, you know, in our case, but, you know, even in just a case of a family member, you know, we're going to save this, Grandma, and, you know, your great-great-great-grandchildren will be able to hear what you did. That's what's worthwhile. That's what needs to be done. Bye.